Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Pass to the right, left, intercepted, and run into the end zone for a touchdown. Sterling Moore.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Start spreading the news. I'm teeing off today. I want to be a part of it. Shotgun tournament at Sawgrass. My team really sucks. My coach won't shut the bleep up. Oh, we could go on. Francis Albert Sinatra.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
Of course. Love Francis. One of the greats of all time. One of my favorites of all time. It's like Bill Murray in Caddyshack. I have to laugh. Well, the Jets, you know, hey, again, you can go back. I hate to sound like Nostradamus here, but a lot of the things that I said would happen around week one have happened. And I'm going to toot my own horn because nobody else in around here is going to, so I'm going to toot my own horn for the most part. I've been pretty dead on balls accurate. I am. I keep doing it all day. I don't really care. As far as how this season played out, it's pretty much exactly where I thought it would be. And particularly the second half of the season, not surprised at all. The beginning of the season, I said the Jets, at least on paper, don't play on paper, I said I thought they were going to take a step back this year. I really did. I think I still picked them to make the playoffs, but I think it was going to be they would squeak in, or they could possibly miss it. I can't remember exactly what I said about it, but I think I picked them to go 9-7. But I'm not surprised at all. Not surprised at all. Not surprised that Denver lost again to Kansas City at the end. I told you last week, the last show I was here, I thought that would happen. The only thing that surprised me last week a little bit was Baltimore winning at Cincinnati. Even that was a pretty close game, and I would have picked Tennessee against Houston. The Jets losing in Miami, no question about that. I would have picked the Giants over Dallas, no question. How anybody could ever think Tony Romo's going to win games in December when they mean anything. I mean, that organization is embarrassing. There is so much to talk about today. I don't even know how I'm going to fit it all in. Thank God we have another show tomorrow. But it is Pete Shepherd here doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well. And I promise, unlike a lot of other shows on the radio, whatever, I will get to all your emails. I promise all your phone calls. There's so many people have so many questions and predictions. Definitely, there is just so much to talk about. Besides my rant, which was dead on about the national media, the ESPN people and the NFL Network people have now gone beyond absurd and pathetic to they're in another dimension. They're trying to get listeners to buy into whatever it is they're trying to sell, their product. I hear shows on the radio that are just I heard Maz today coming in. Now Maz is talking about maybe the weather is going to be too cold, so now the Patriots won't be able to pass in the weather because it is just the list goes on and on and on. I think he said yesterday the Patriots are the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, it's just so laughable. It really is so laughable when you start listening to some of these predictions by some of these people who've been around. Some of them are my friends and I have a lot of respect for. And always will. I mean, it's just sports, so it's not personal. Again, it's not personal. But when you see guys like Shaughnessy and Borges come on and again embarrass themselves on television and in print like they did last week after that game, I mean, it really is. It's so phony. It's fake contrarianism. It's just hatred. It's not sexy answers from Belichick. And like I said, it's journalistic laziness. Maybe not so much from Borges because I think he knows the truth. He just doesn't like to speak it. Shaughnessy, like I said, Shaughnessy doesn't know grapefruit from a football. So what he says about football is irrelevant for the most part. Because all he's talking about, he had nothing, and nobody would challenge him. Felger let him go on and on and on last Sunday night on Comcast. Let him go on and on and on without challenging him. Nobody was there to challenge him. I challenge them. They can come on this show anytime they want. Call in, whatever they want.
Give me a break.
But I would bury them because guys like Shaughnessy don't understand the numbers. They don't understand They haven't looked at the schedules of these other teams. They haven't looked at the quarterbacks of these other teams that face some of the offenses. They don't even consider the fact about the Patriots leading the AFC in turnover differentials at plus 17, their third overall in the NFL. They don't consider the fact the Patriots are 15th in points allowed, right in the middle of the pack, ahead of some other playoff teams, including the Packers. They don't understand. Here's a great stat again. It's, this guy, Peter Guerrera, great email. He just sent it to me from New Mexico. In Albuquerque. It says, Pete, check this out. I recall you discussing this stat a few times over the season. And now that the season is over, if you look at points per yards given up by the Patriots defense, is ranked second overall, just behind the San Francisco 49ers and ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Think about this stat. The Pats give up yardage and not points sound demoralizing to the opposing team, and great coaching and execution on offense and special teams giving the Patriots supreme field position. Dead on. It's a very, very interesting stat, and I think somebody brought it up, too. It was either somebody from profootball.com brought it up or somebody a couple of weeks ago, and it was a stat, and it even might have been Peter. I can't remember. But it's very, very similar to what we talked about. The Patriots were second then. Now the haters are out there, or the people, they are reaching. They're trying so badly. They're trying so hard to try and get under this team's skin, and they think they're being edgy and funny and cute, and they're providing a different viewpoint when all they are doing is humiliating themselves. These media members are humiliating themselves. They are not in reality. They are not looking at the entire big picture, not just with the Patriots, but with the entire league. I told you, after the first game of the season, Green Bay, New Orleans, I sat in here that Tuesday following, and I said, I thought it would be a high-scoring game. My preseason pick was New Orleans and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I still stay with that. That game could have gone either way that opening night. That was bad coaching and two bungled moves by Peyton, and the coach, on 4th-and-1. Otherwise, New Orleans would have had a great shot to win that game. But regardless, you knew the way the league was going to go. If you don't have an elite quarterback, you can't win. You can't. Won't happen. Now, what I'd like to know is this. People want to go back bleep on the Patriots defense, everything else, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when Pittsburgh barely squeaks out a 13-9 win over a horrible Cleveland team, what does that say? I mean, doesn't that say something? Yeah, Mendenhall didn't play. We know that. Roethlisberger's banged up, and it's going to be the same this week. He's just lucky to be playing an even more pathetic offense than the Steelers are right now. What is that? So why don't all these analysts on ESPN and NFL Network talk about how the Steelers are going to have a tough time scoring points? You think the Steelers team right now, as constructed, is going to come in here and put up 30? Because I told you, that's what it's going to take, 30. No way. No way. I'm trying to come up with some reason how the hell Denver can stay with Pittsburgh on some. I'm trying to come up with something, and it ain't working. And the only way it happens, and again, I think it'll be an ugly, low-scoring game, not as ugly as it was last week against Kansas City, but Pittsburgh should be able to win this game. They should be able to. Now, we all know stranger things have happened, but I've never seen, even last year, and I was going to bring up, I know John and Paul Scalabino brought it up during John's show, and I was going to bring it up. Well, I mean, remember Seattle last year gets in at 7-9, then goes to New Orleans and beats them last year in the playoffs. But, you know, they didn't have Tim Tebow, a quarterback. That's a big difference. He stinks as a quarterback. And you sit there, and Skip Bayless a couple weeks ago on ESPN on First Take was saying, okay, he's like, you know, if the Broncos back into the playoffs, then, you know, I will concede. He's talking about concessions. And today he's still going on and on and on about Tebow, about how, you know, now he's praising John Elway, I think sarcastically, because Elway's basically saying, Tebow, you know, you need to throw the ball better, which he's been saying kind of the same thing, and some of his teammates have been saying the same thing, you know, the whole year. Pull the trigger, as Elway was saying. Got to pull the trigger. Don't be afraid to pull the trigger. Well, the problem is he's got a tricky trigger finger because it doesn't work all that well. And it's like watching super slow motion in high def when he goes back to pass. I mean, it is awful. If this guy's name was not Tim Tebow, I mean, really, seriously, the biggest Denver fans out there or the biggest T-ball fans out there, seriously, separate yourself from the name for a second and put Joe Smith on the back of his jersey. And tell me honestly, if you just saw the numbers and saw how the games were won by Prater, by Barber, fumbling, Novak missing field goals, the Dolphins self-destructing in that, I mean, every single way they won. Yeah, against the Jets, he had the 90-something-yard drive, but also the defense had a pick six. Sanchez was pathetic in that game. All that did was separate yourself, and you tell me if that guy's last name was not Tebow, that anybody would give a crap. He'd be like a poor man Seneca Wallace, who's actually playing pretty well. But you sit there and you listen to some of these national people. Guys like Skip Bayless trying to defend him. I don't get it. Now, to defend Skip in another area, he was actually pretty good this morning in defending the Patriots, going up against Parker and Cordell Stewart, who are just absolute buffoons with their analysis. It's totally not objective. They could not apply the same logic to the Patriots to the Packers. They couldn't do it. You know why? Nobody brought it up to them. Nobody. They just sat there, ragged on the Patriots' defense, and every time somebody tried to bring up point differential, turnover differential, they didn't want to hear it. Why would you listen to Cordell Stewart analysis about the Patriots? Why? They keep putting him in there in these little segments talking about the Patriots like he's going to be fair and objective. We all know what the Patriots' flaws are in defense. We know that. We know what the whole league's flaws are on defense. I know what the league's flaws are on some of these teams on offense, a lot of them. And I think they're going to have problems. I think teams like San Francisco will have a major problem in the playoffs. I think the Steelers are going to have a problem if they should. I mean, they're lucky to get to play Denver. And as bad as Tebow and the Broncos are playing, and it's mostly Tebow, because if they had any kind of a decent quarterback last week, they might have been able to steal that game. And they are so lucky the Raiders just played awful against San Diego. But the Steelers luck out because they get the one of the worst quarterbacks they've ever seen in the playoffs, ever. Ever. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. And don't bring up Trent Dilfer in 2000 because he had his issues, but he wasn't like this. I mean, he went through some stretches there. Well, they didn't get an offensive touchdown. I understand that, but he wasn't this bad. And it's not, you know, I don't blame Tebow. It's not his fault. It's because a lot of the media people have put him up on this pedestal, and it's ridiculous. He's just not that good, and I don't think he's ever going to be that good as a quarterback. As an NFL player, yeah. There's room for him in this league, no question, but not as an NFL quarterback. But you sit there, you flip back between ESPN and NFL Network, and it's just, I don't even get angry. I mean, I shouldn't say I don't get angry. I'd be lying. But I really laugh out loud more than anything else. When I hear people, and you can tell the people that do their homework and the people who don't. It's so obvious. If you look, you can counter a lot of things. If I look at the San Francisco 49ers schedule, which I'm going to punch up for you right now, for those of you who don't know, okay? Just give me a second to punch it up here. And I'm going to give you a prime example of how some of these numbers that the 49ers should be, you know, that all of a sudden teams like the Patriots, Packers, and New Orleans should be afraid of the 49ers with this kind of defense because, you know, defense wins championships. Well, yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. Let's look at their schedule, okay? Here's the 49ers. Arguably, you know, the experts, one of the best defensive team in the league, so, you know, they should cruise, right? Wrong. 13-3. Okay, opening day, they win at home against Seattle. Big deal. Then they lose to the Cowboys at home, 27-24. All right, Dallas, all right, second week of the season, okay, decent offense. Second week of the season. We all know Dallas and Romo, what they like in December. They're absolutely absurd. They go at Cincinnati, okay? I mean, the Bengals, they have any kind of great offense? I mean, Dalton's had a pretty decent year for a rookie and all that stuff. Okay, they win 13-8. They play at Philadelphia, and I'll give them that. That was 24-23. That was Michael Vick, if I remember correctly, turning the ball over. Actually, I'm going to make sure I'm right. I'm going to punch up the box score real quick. This was the game. That's right. This was the game where they were down 20-3. The 49ers were down 20-3. Remember, and they outscored the Eagles 21-3. They scored the last three touchdowns. Josh Morgan, 30-yard pass from Alex Smith. Vernon Davis, 90-yard pass from Alex Smith. And Gore, 12-yard run. This was after. How many picks did they have in this game? Let me see. As I'm looking. Michael Vick had an interception. Threw for 416 yards, by the way, on this great San Francisco defense. Okay, if you remember, that was just the Eagles peeing that game away. So that's only, we're only into week three. Now listen, that's probably the best offense they played the rest of the year. Listen to this. Tampa Bay next, 48-3. Okay, we all remember the Detroit game. That was the one with the pat on the butt and the exchange. But at Detroit, probably their most impressive win. They win 25-19. I'll give them that. Again, I know Detroit scored a bunch of points, and they put up some points this year. So at times, that I'll give you that. That's a good win. I can't take that one. That's a nice win. But look at the rest of this: Cleveland, at Washington. The Giants, they beat 27-20. Arizona, at Baltimore, where they lost, and it wasn't because Baltimore put up. Is Baltimore, 60, their offense couldn't score, 16-6. Then they play St. Louis and Arizona. Pittsburgh 3 weeks ago. Remember that Thursday night, that ugly game on Thursday night when Roethlisberger got hurt? At Seattle, where they almost lost, last second win, 19-17. And then at the Rams, which was kind of meaningless, they won 34-27. It doesn't impress me. It doesn't impress me. I think they're okay. Are they an elite team? No freaking way. I don't think they are. No way. Now, can they win in the play? I guess. I mean, like I said, I would never, ever, ever say a team can't win. No way, no chance, no how. No way. I would never say that because I've seen too many crazy, wacky things happen in my lifetime in sports and the NFL playoffs especially. But I can do the same thing for the Steelers and the Ravens, by the way, as far as their quote-unquote great defenses. But they still have offensive deficiencies, big time. We know what the Ravens are on the road. Pittsburgh certainly is really banged up right now. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. It's not what I'm saying is everybody needs to realize that it's not just net yardage in this whole grand scheme of things. Most of the national media still has refused to break down the Tebow win streak the Denver winning streak that they had. They just refuse to go game by game by game and just look at the circumstances. That kind of stuff. Now, my feeling is this year. I'm just saying that when San Francisco go plays teams like San Fran and I'm talking this year, not last year, not 2 years ago, not 10 years ago. This year, San Fran plays like teams like New Orleans and Green Bay. I think they're going to get shredded. I think if Pittsburgh and Baltimore come in here and they don't put up 30, the Patriots are going to whip them. I really do. Today I hear about cold weather, how that, worked out. It's crazy. Now, the other part of this, too, is, again, taking care of the football. The Patriots just play decent defense. Do what they do. And I don't want to see them get down by 21 points, mind you. I agree. I don't want to see that happen in the playoffs. They've had some slow starts. We know that. But I also know this team is a lot tougher than last year's. I think it has a lot more heart and character. There's a lot going on here that we haven't seen in a while, in my opinion. And the people in the national media keep bringing up, I told you, Parker brought up Spygate today. What a douche. on First Take. I mean, what a freaking douchebag. You know, man, I mean, absolutely nothing. He's going on. Well, you know, they've lost their last three playoff games. They still count the Super Bowl, and they count, you know, what Baltimore, and Brady said it this week on Dennis and Cal, what happened against Baltimore 2 years ago is completely irrelevant. What happened last year against the Jets is completely irrelevant. I don't know why these national guys continue to, you know, embarrass themselves on a nightly basis by bringing all what is in the past up. It has nothing to do with this year for any of these teams. People really think what happened to the Patriots in Pittsburgh on October 30th is going to happen again, and potentially 3 months later? You people really, some of you believe that? Then you haven't been paying attention to a lot of different things. It's just like Detroit and New Orleans this week. I don't think that's going to be a blowout for the Saints. I think if New Orleans plays well, I think New Orleans is the better team. But not by a whole heck of a lot. And Adamican Sue, if he can, you know, keep his temper and not get dumb penalties and thrown out of the game, he didn't play the last time they played. I mean, anything can happen. If the Bengals win, and I think they will, and they come in here, and the Patriots don't play well, you know, anybody can lose on any given day. There's no, and we all know that. I just think this year is going to be different. I think it is set up for the Patriots. I mean, bring it out, and if Houston should beat the Bengals, and Pittsburgh comes here, why would you be afraid of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Why? You respect them. I mean, I respect them. But they'll be the underdog coming in here, and they should be, banged up as they are. But that's, you know, we'll see what happens. That's could be a couple weeks down the road, maybe. Could be Baltimore coming in here. I think the playoffs this year are going to be as interesting as they have ever been. Let me get to some of these emails, because I could go on. There's some I could go on for. And I love the fact. And then it was Shaughnessy and Borges, or both of them combined. And then Borges, you know, as usual, because his arguments have been disproved all year long. He's made a fool out of himself on TV on a nightly basis, and talking about this team. And now he has to write about the team not beating a good team. It's unbelievable. These teams, some of them are 500, a bunch of them, because the Patriots beat them. That's why they're not 500. It's amazing. They can only play the schedule that's in front of them. Team wins 8 games in a row. And I challenge anybody to find out, because I don't have the time to do it right now, but I told you, the second half of the year, the last 8 games of the regular season, in the second half, the Patriots allowed an average of 7 points in the second half. Sorry, that says something to me. You got to factor all that in. You have to. All right, let me get to some of these emails. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. She says, hi, Pete and Kevin. I read the Boston Herald rap sheet. It say the Patriots have not beaten a winning team. And I haven't read this email. Have not beaten a winning team. According to the final standings, he is right. But the real fact is that the only 12 of the 32 teams ended up with winning records, and half were in the NFC. So what's our chances things could be different? Now, if you consider only 5 other teams in the AFC had winning records, and we only got to play one of them, how could we do anything about it? 7 of those 13 teams we beat with losing records now had winning records when we played them. Doesn't that matter? Well, this is what I talked about earlier, Kevin. I mean, Gene. That's what I said. I said these people who keep spouting this stuff did not take into consideration when the Patriots played these teams, the winning streaks they were on. You go back to after they lost to Buffalo. They were going to Oakland. People were ragging on them then. I told you they were going to win. They lost the back-to-back games to the Giants and the Steelers and the Giants. And after that, I said, I looked at the schedule. I said, look, I just don't see them losing. And I thought the Jets game would be closer. I didn't think they'd go in there and humiliate them, but that was the beginning of the end for the Jets. They never recovered. They really didn't. Patriots went in there, when the whole world was up against them, and they waxed the Jets on the road after the Jets had won 3 in a row. That's got to count for something. They played the Eagles on the road when the Eagles were still in the playoff hunt and playing all or nothing. Patriots whipped them in the end by 3 touchdowns. That has to count for something. You can't just dismiss that. Finishing Gene's email. At the time we played these 8-8 teams, they had confidence and were healthy and playing hard. We could only play the teams we are scheduled to play this year, the AFC West and the NFC East, ending up only 1 team out of 8 with winning record. why are people trying to diminish this team accomplishments, why you think the national media would have learned by now. It never works. All they are doing is fueling the fire. Cordell Stewart is not objective and will never be. He's still pissed about the AFC Championship game against the Steelers' loss to the Pats. He said after that game, the best team did not win today. He will never acknowledge the Patriots. It hurts him too much. He can join Tom Jackson on my crap list. Well, I mean, I agree a lot with that. It's just, and like I said, believe it or not, when he's not talking about the Patriots, I actually think Cordell Stewart is pretty good as an analyst. That's a God's honest truth. I think he's one of the better analysts on ESPN, except when he's talking about the Patriots. And there's no question, it's personal with him. And I don't know why ESPN doesn't know this, or maybe they just don't care. Because like I said, they had a really nice debate today. No, it actually was a discussion. Him, Parker, Skip Bayless, and the moderator about, you know, race and Tebow. And it was very, very interesting. And it's something that hadn't occurred to me because I don't look at players. I don't see black and white. I just see players. So to me, Tebow sucks. He sucks. I don't care what color he is. And he does suck as a quarterback. He does. He's not good. He's one of the worst NFL playoff quarterbacks I have ever seen in my life. Heading into a series like that, heading into this postseason. But it was interesting, some of the names that they brought up about people who are much worse than Tebow, kind of not getting second chances, who are African-American. It was interesting. I didn't agree with 100% of it, but I agree with a lot of it. It was interesting. Like I said, you take the Tebow name off that guy's shirt and please. Crazy. Chad says, hey, Pete and Kev, I'm not quite sure who will be winning those wild card matchups. My take is the Broncos will win, believe it or not, an ugly and pathetic game. I just don't think the Steelers are really playing well in a consistent momentum, but Ben Roethlisberger is half-legged. Mendenhall is out. The O-line sucks, but Tebow sucks, no question. But somehow the Broncos win this game 7-3. I think the Bengals will beat the Texans. I'll take the hottest quarterback. I'm picking Dalton for me. The Bengals are a lot more operational, have more firepower than the Texans. Seriously, beating the Jags, Colts, and Titans is not an accomplishment. They just lost to the Titans Sunday. We face, we'll beat them. I don't buy the sectarian media punk haters or the NFL Network who literally hate us to death and fantasize over the Ravens and Steelers. Yeah, except the reality is that those two teams haven't clinched home field, and taking it into the consideration, the joke of the schedule they benefited, these teams do not impress me. I agree with you. I said it to John earlier. Those schedule are hilarious. But the Steelers make it to Fox, man, that's fine with me. Foxborough, that's fine with me. Kicking those loudmouths in the butt sounds awesome. By the way, the Jets sucks. Rex Ryan is a clown, and thus the team is a circus. Go home, Rex, and eat your own feet, sicko. Well, that's fair and objective. Always like that. Let me see. What else we got here? Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. We got so much to get to today. There's so much to talk about. I haven't even gotten into the MVP race and what you guys think about that. And is it really that much of a clear cut in favor of Aaron Rodgers? It's obviously between three people, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. But we can get to all that. Joshua says, nice, Pete is in full playoff mode, and it's only the bye week. Can't wait to see his fury next week. It's not, well, I guess it is fury. Somewhat. It's more that it's frustrating to see these people in a national spotlight not do their homework enough. I mean, this is not brain surgery. All it takes is a couple of hours and some prep show time to go through some of the schedules and stuff so you know what the hell you're talking about, so you don't go on TV and just blurt out crap and see what sticks to the wall. You don't sit on the radio and say the Patriots are the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, it's such a boneheaded thing to say. Danny says, Happy New Year, Pete. I'll try and keep this short, but I'm so mad I can go all day. Why are people not giving us a chance? They talk about our defense, but yet Green Bay is just as bad and they're favored to win it all. We have better weapons. We set records. I believe we have the most takeaways, correct me if I'm wrong, and turnovers will determine who wins the game. And this team is so different that they are of previous years. You got guys like Woodhead, Ridley, and Hernandez stepping up to those two runs, by Aaron. He's a beast. And the fact that we had a horrible first quarter of the game is 60 minutes. They don't talk about us getting 49 unanswered points. There is more pros and cons with this team. By the way, the media only focus on the bad. I don't get it, but it's okay. I like being under the radar this time. Looking forward to Saints-Patriots Super Bowl. Take care, buddy. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots are third in the NFL overall in point and turnover differential, plus 17. They're number one in the AFC. But most people don't acknowledge it. They don't want to even talk about it. They don't even want to talk about it. All you hear is, they fall behind by three touchdowns, they can't win. Well, that's a crock of crap, too. I don't want to see it happen. But to say, to paint, again, that strictly pass or fail paintbrush I always talk about, it's stupid. It's stupid when you start talking about this team here, because it bites you in the ass when you make generalizations like that about any teams. It usually comes back to bite you. There's no absolutes in life. There's certainly no absolutes in the NFL. That's for damn sure. How the hell do you know? Or anybody else? They can't come back if they're down by a couple scores. It's never happened before? Kidding me? One of the greatest games of all time was Miami and San Diego back in 82, the AFC divisional game. It's the Chargers jumped out to a 24-0 lead. Had to hang on for dear life at the end, thanks to Kellen Winslow and a blocked field goal, a blocked extra point in that game. Oh, my goodness. Let me see what else we got here. Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can Facebook me as well, and let me get some of my Facebook messages, too. Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Then I'm going to take a quick break. And again, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Start right at the top here. William says, Pete, if Tebow and the Broncos beat the Steelers and the Ravens, would you fear, respect whatever Tebow or Fox is coaching to use the few things Tebow does well in the AFC? I want to get into Tebow question while I can. If Tebow and the Broncos beat the Steelers, then the Ravens, would you? You're assuming then that Cincinnati beats Houston and Cincinnati comes here. So you're thinking Tebow and the Broncos would win at home against Pittsburgh and go to Baltimore and win. If that happens, William, I'll take you out to dinner any way you want to go. On me, whatever you want. If that happens. If Tebow and the Broncos beat the Steelers, then the Ravens, would you fear, respect, whatever Tebow? Well, let's put it this way. If the Broncos had squeaked out that game 9-7 last week and he was still 6-22 and pray to build him out, no, I'd have the same feeling I had now. So it depends. It depends how the game goes. I mean, I don't know. Somebody's going to have to tell me how they think that the Broncos are going to score in this game. I mean, tell me how. Maybe turnovers. I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I mean, if you don't take care of the football, that can really even things out in a hurry. We've seen it before. Certainly, it's with the Patriots, do it all the time, and they've seen in a playoff game against Denver in 05, where it went against them, they turned the ball over five times. Otherwise, they probably win that game, but no team's going to turn the ball over five times and should win a playoff game. I'm not saying, is it impossible for Denver to win? No. I think it's highly, highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. I think the Steelers are geared towards playing teams like the Denver Broncos. And you've seen over the years, not so much against teams like the Patriots, why the Patriots have so much success against them a lot of the time. Granted, what happened October 30th, you know, as bad as that game was, it was still a one-score game at the end. It wasn't like the Steelers, you know, scored. They scored 25 on them. And it was still a one-score game at the end. Don't expect that kind of game either when they come here. Don't expect it at all. If they come here, I'm telling you, the Steelers have to play. They have to put up more points than that. And I'm just not sure they're going to be. I just don't see their ability to be able to stop the Patriots offense the way it's playing now. This is 8 straight wins. They average 32 points a game. They're going to be at home. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. That's still a ways, and we got to see what happens. I just think teams like the Denver Broncos that are so inept at offense with a horrible quarterback like Tebow is right now, I think you're playing right into the Steelers' hands. That's the one game out of all the games, all the playoff games coming up this weekend, I will be completely shocked not beyond belief, because like I said, anything can happen. I've seen too many strange things. But in the NFL, I'm trying to think, I have never seen a quarterback as bad as he is playing right now, and so inept, and passing at 46%. I just don't ever, I'm trying to think, even, I said, even Dilfer back in 2000 played better towards the end. He was nothing like this. He was bad at times, but nothing like this. And then Baltimore had that great defense when it meant something. But I just don't, I don't know how the Broncos against this particular team get past, you know, even a couple field goals maybe. I don't even see them scoring a touchdown. Like I said, unless Pittsburgh fumbles a kickoff, I just don't see it. But Atlanta and the Giants, I mean, I'll tell you I'm going to pick right now. I mean, I'll wait for the against the spread. Maybe things will change tomorrow. But I'm telling you right now, I think Cincinnati beats Houston. I think New Orleans, in a very close game, will beat Detroit. I think that will be a very close game. Will beat Detroit. I think Atlanta will beat the Giants. And I think Pittsburgh beats Denver. And the other thing about the national media, what they're doing, is with the Giants, is absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. The Giants went 3-5 the last 8 games. 3 weeks ago, got humiliated at home by the Washington Redskins. But because they beat Romo in December, I mean, come on. And because they beat the Jets, and I thought the Giants would win both games. I understand that. And now everybody is jumping on that little bandwagon again, that the Giants are going to have this run like they did in 2007. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but people are like, oh, the Giants are playing. I love great football right now. No, they're not. Wow, how are the Giants playing great football? They're 3-5 in the second half of the season. They lost to Washington at home by 2 touchdowns 3 weeks ago. Now, they found themselves, you get dumbass across the hall from you, Rex Ryan, giving you bulletin board material. So you whip his ass, which I thought they would, because Sanchez stinks. And then and Tony Romo in December, is there any more of a sure bet than that, that Dallas will lose than Romo in December? He's awful in December. Why does that suddenly transcend to the Giants playing great? I love that. Great, they're saying. 3 weeks ago, they weren't playing great. They lost to Washington at home by 2 touchdowns. 3-5 the last 8 games of the year. No, I think that'll be a great game against Atlanta. I think it'll be very entertaining. I think all the games are going to be entertaining in their own way. You know, I don't see a laugher here at all. I mean, it's, you know, anything can happen, but I don't see a laugher here at all. I think the Giants and Atlanta will be very close. Denver-Pittsburgh, I don't see Pittsburgh winning that game like 40-10 either. I mean, I just think it's, that game to me looks like it's going to be like it was against Cleveland last week, 13-9. So, something like that. And then Cincinnati-Houston. So we'll see. All right, call me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's head out to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with Anthony in Reno, Nevada. Hey, Anthony, you're up with Pete Shepard. How you doing, my friend?
Great, yourself?
Very well. Happy New Year to you.
Likewise.
Thanks.
Hey, I want to go back to weeks. I was very impressed with Belichick and how two of the players went down, and he had enough depth to get through. Wasn't able to call, so I just wanted to pay homage to him. And it really embodies the brilliance that the man has on building franchises.
Well, again, I think it means a lot. I mean, the depth means a lot. And now you finally saw Polian, that fraud, who finally came out today or late last night and said, you know what, I made a mistake. I didn't build a team for depth. Yeah, no bleep, Sherlock. You know, people tried to tell you that for years, and they stuck all their eggs in a couple of baskets, and it really backfired on them. You know, and as I said, you know, you can criticize Bill Belichick, the GM, for, you know, many of the moves, but he's also made many more great moves, and the good far outweighs the bad. And people can talk all they want about different defenses, and they want this player and that player. They get caught up in cute little names like Clay Matthews, and they don't take into consideration some of the other great players that the Patriots have gotten over the last few years. Have they been busts? Sure, they've been busts. But there are most GMs, I think, I mean, I may be going on a limb here. I think most GMs think the Patriots are doing the things the right way over the past 11 years or so. I think the track record is there. I may be mistaken.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've also been impressed how the defense, after the second or after the first half, they've been able to get some stops or turn over the ball and allow Brady to have some more possessions to come back from behind. I think that's impressive, and it just shows how much character the team has.
No, I agree. I think this is a much tougher team than they were last year, and obviously in 09, there's no question about it. Again, two different seasons, different situations, different circumstances. This is going to be – they have. There's no question about the character on this team. There's no question about the resiliency. There's no question about the toughness. And, you know, a stat that people, like I said, don't want to hear is that the second last eight games of the regular season, the Patriots average giving up only 7 points in the second half. That's got to count. I mean, I'd rather have that than it was the opposite way. I mean, because that's what was happening in the 09 season. They could not close out games in the second half. They had a really, really difficult time in the 09 season. They would shut teams down in the first half. The second half, when they just had to get, on several occasions, just one or two first downs to close the game out, they had a really difficult time doing it. I'd rather have it like the way it is now. This is a much different team and a much tougher team than it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, two more things. Yeah. First, I was glad Belichick made that call for Gronkowski to get the record, even though he said he didn't know how much yards he needed.
Yeah, he knew.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, and it just shows, you know, Belichick does his things a different way, but they're a good way of how he does them. He's basically said he worked his rear end up to this point of the season, and I gave him the opportunity to make, you know, break the record and accomplish an individual record, which I like. You have to earn that right, that privilege, which can be taken away from you if you act up or you don't do the right thing and make the best contribution towards your team.
Yep.
So I was glad that he did that for him.
I was too. I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, my friend. You too.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to give us the most trouble? One team out of the teams that are in the playoff picture?
I don't know. I think any team on any different – I hate to sound, you know, ridiculously cliche-ish, but I think any team on any given day can give anybody trouble if you don't play well. If you don't take care of the football – I don't care who you're playing. You're gonna be in trouble. I just, you know, you can make arguments for Pittsburgh and Baltimore on the road. You can make arguments that they're gonna have a hard time in here. I think Pittsburgh, the way they are currently constituted with that offense, are gonna have an extremely difficult time coming in here and winning a game. Baltimore on the road is a completely different team. You know, they played decent last Sunday, but they've been terribly inconsistent on the road this year. I don't fear any of these teams coming in here. I just think if the Patriots play their game and just play decent defense, what they've been doing, causing the turnovers, allowing, 24 or fewer points, whatever it is that they allow, and no one scored more than 24 points, by the way, in Foxborough this year against them, I think they'll win. I really do. I just don't see anybody going to be able to stop their offense these next couple of weeks. I don't see it. But if they have to also take care of the football, and they have to play at least decent on defense, do what they've been kind of doing here, and I think they'll win.
All right, thank you for your time. You have a great New Year's, and help to you and your wife.
Thanks, Anthony. Same to you. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's the number here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here's our buddy Tyrone in Delaware. Tyrone, what's up, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Pete.
Now,
yeah, I got some positive for you. You know who you are.
Whoa, hey, what are you talking
about? Positive right now.
What are you talking about positives? What do you mean? You already had this team out of the playoffs up 5 weeks ago. You told me. You told me they were one and done. You told me they were one and done. You told me how they were going to stumble every week. They're going to stumble in Philadelphia. They're going to stumble against Miami. They'll stumble against Buffalo. You know, I have it all here. I have my Tyrone from Delaware, you know, CIA file right here. It's all right here.
That's being a little emotional right there. You know what I'm saying? I love the team, but I have a little positive right now.
All right.
Right now, I like what I saw about Belichick moving McCourty to safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good move. Even though he didn't play, but I think he played more safety. I think that's a lot better than play. He's always looking at the quarterback when he plays corner. So that's where he faces the quarterback all the time. I like that move. What do you think?
Well, I certainly liked it at the time, at least for that particular game. And maybe you gotta turn your sound down, Tyrone, on the computer if you don't mind, because we're getting feedback.
No, I got it on. No, it's my speakerphone on my.
Oh, okay, all right.
I'm in my car.
Okay, I don't know what the, look, I know that I know what helps tremendously is having Patrick Chung back there. And at least McCourty, in the second half anyway, I mean, because he was – to me, it's so frustrating watching the guy because I really think it's just a simple
– mental.
It's mental. It's a simple technique, and it's real simple. Turn around and look for the ball. If he just turned around, he would have like 7 interceptions this year. But it amazes me, and it's, you know, it's really, if you watch a lot of cornerbacks, not just him, to me the most frustrating thing is watching some of these NFL cornerbacks on all these teams, so many of them, just, you know, don't look back for the ball. I don't know if it's a lost art or what, but you would think that would be the top priority, especially when you see the receiver's head start to move a little bit. That is your cue to look behind you, or at the very least, just stick your hands up in the air and wave them around. As long as you're not touching the guy, you're going to knock the ball away. But it's a lost art, it seems. So I don't know what Belichick's plans are. And, you know, again, it's game's not for a couple of weeks.
Safety. I like it better.
He might. He might. You know, all the...
I hope so, because, you know, he's always looking at a quarterback anyway. I think that's why he get burned when he's playing corner. So if he's facing a quarterback all the time, I think that helps him out. I think he's better than James the Hedderwell playing safety. I mean, so let me give it a shot. Like I said, I like what I see out of the second half of the team. So, you know, I got a little bit of confidence, but still the only team I see. I know they're Pittsburgh, really, but Baltimore just, I don't know, it's just something. Don't get me wrong, it's not because of last year, but they got, you know, they just got a lot of players on that defense, and it's,
besides the players on defense, we know the players. I still think people have this idea that they're the same kind of defense that they were a few years ago. They're not. Look at the one good high, what you want to consider decent high powered offensive team they played this year was at San Diego. They got their doors blown off by San Diego. If you look at their schedule, Tyrone, and you look and see who they have played. And I give them credit for last week because I didn't think they'd win at Cincinnati. But I don't consider Cincinnati a kind of a high-powered offense. But nevertheless, they played well despite the horrible call on Green, which should have been pass interference in the end zone, and Cincinnati should have tied that game. But I just don't see them. If they have been so inconsistent. I told you, they remind me. This Ravens team reminds me of the Patriots back in 2009. Very, very similar. They can't close out games. They can't win on the road. Patriots had the same kind of problem. They're very, very similar if you look at the numbers. So I anything could happen. We all know on any given Sunday. But I like my chances with this Patriot team here against anybody.
Well, one thing I must say, and then I want to go on to San Francisco. One thing I must say, I think our style, I think the reason why San Diego was able to exploit them, because I think they have trouble with people that got wide receivers on the outside that could go deep. Like, they could score San Diego, like, now, because they was playing like garbage earlier because people wasn't healthy. Phillip Rivers wasn't playing up to par. But I think to beat Baltimore, you on that defense, you can't, you know, with us, with our offense, if it's good, I'm not saying it's not good. But it takes us 13, 14 plays, which more plays could go wrong. With San Diego, they was down in the field, 6 plays, bang.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that. And the Patriots have a very unique style of offense, what they do.
And they're not efficient, but they're 13 plays, more things to go wrong, before we started winning.
All right, Tom, wait a second, because you can't have it both ways. I would rather have a long drive of 13 plays and them scoring a touchdown and giving the defense time to rest.
No, I'm talking about when they stalled twice and he kicked field goals and what's his name? O'Brien was throwing a fit on the sideline.
Yeah, but that's a couple. That happens to every team. They're averaging 32 points a game. The second half of the season, they're averaging about 37 points a game. So, the offense, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. They will find a way. Yep. They have plenty of weapons. And if Chad can do something.
Receiver's the key, man.
But
that third receiver could get any time.
And I know Chad got crapped on again this week because of they only targeted him once. But he also, to his credit, which you got to, again, I look at the whole picture all the time, Chad had two great blocks in that game.
Yeah, he really did that.
So, I mean, it's not what we expected. He's certainly been a disappointment to me, I'm sure most of the fans. But he's still contributing somewhat. He's doing something. He's not sitting there being lazy and taking plays off. At least,
no, not at all. So. And let me talk to San Francisco real quick. He was talking about, I guess a lot of people saying San Francisco, you know, I think they're legit because you always say that, taking it from you, mm-hmm. you don't watch who they play because I think you were saying first and then they was talking about the teams that Patriots play is not winning teams.
Yep.
Well, we can't really do that with San Francisco also.
Hang on a second. I'm not saying about winning teams. I'm just saying I'm looking at some of the offenses that they – now, I said I give them credit for that win at Detroit. That was a great win that they had in Detroit against a pretty good team. I'm saying overall – in the schedule that they played this year, they did not have to play any high-profile, prolific offenses. The one they did play was Dallas in Game 2 when they lost. And then they had Michael Vick and the Eagles, who passed for 416 yards on them and was up by 20. They were up by 21 points in that game, the Eagles were, and then they pissed that game away. So all I'm saying is, and they didn't play New Orleans, they didn't play the Patriots, they didn't play Green Bay. I'm not sure – they're as good as advertised. I'm not saying they can't win a playoff game. I'm saying I'm not sure they're as good as advertised. But well, you know, that's why they play the games. Only time will tell.
One thing, and I'm gone. One other thing. All I'm gonna say is that to me, in my eyes, they're legit. Along with Alex Smith, I think they could get to the title game. My opinion. I think they could get to the NFC title game.
San Fran. Yeah, they could. I mean, they could.
It's just Alex Smith is the key. But anyhow, guys, Dominic, you're pretty
good. All right, buddy. Take care. Have a great new year. Appreciate it. See if we can sneak one more call in before we take a break. Then I come back. I got a ton of emails to read, a ton of Facebook. I promise I am going to get to everybody. Believe me. Here's Bad Kevin in Illinois up next on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hi, Bad Kevin.
What's going on, Pete?
Happy New Year, buddy.
You too, man. Hey, a couple of quick things, and then I've got to rant a little bit. But
yeah.
Number one, great to see Rex Ryan and the Jets going through a world of crap.
It's beautiful. I mean, I'm not sure if he cried today or whatever it was, but, you know, I just think we all know what he is, And I was seriously, ask yourself this question when you think about Rex Ryan, and it has nothing to do with him being a good coach, which I think he is, and I give him credit for a lot of things, but I don't ever remember an NFL coach ever who makes guarantees like that. In the history of the NFL, I don't remember a coach that has a mouth like his, that, you know, that his team, and he was writing checks that his team obviously cannot cash. You don't win that way. You can talk about coaches like, you know, your Bobby Knights who disciplinary, that kind of stuff. But Bobby Knight and others like him, they're angry and yell. They never went out and guaranteed championships and they're going to guarantee win. You cannot be an NFL head coach and do what he's doing and not back it up. And he hasn't backed it up at all. All it's been is a couple of nice playoff wins and then an 8-8 season. And I think his ass is on the line next year. They better, whatever they do, they better start off fast because I think he could be in trouble. But I'm trying to think, do you ever remember an NFL coach that has mouthed off like he has and never won anything? I don't.
No, I can't either, but I don't want him gone. I think he's great for the NFL. I think he's great for the AFC East.
Yeah, I do too.
And I love having him as Belichick's anti-Belichick.
Yep. No, I'm with you. I think we all agree with that. But
the second thing, it's nice to see the Colts going through turmoil at this particular point in time.
Well, look, I brought this up about week 4 or 5 into the season about Polian and Irsay, and, you know, they put all their eggs in a couple of baskets a few years ago, and they just didn't build for depth, and this is what happens. I mean, this is why the Patriots are such a great organization, because when it happened to them in 2008, they should have made the play. They finished 11-5, and it wasn't for Brett Favre not getting a first down against Miami. Patriots would have been in the playoffs again, won the division, and who knows, because Castle and the offense was really clicking at the end. I think they won their last five games. But this is what happens. When you don't build for depth in the NFL, you get screwed. So this is why when people want to shout down Belichick and criticize him all the time about trading down for draft picks and this, that, and the other thing, and he does deserve some criticism. But if you look overall, the good far outweighs the bad. And if they didn't have a lot of these picks, particularly on offensive line where I think it's vital because their best player on the team is number 12, that is their number one priority. Regardless of what people want to think, their number one priority, as I've said all year long, like Burt Reynolds in The Longest Yard, protect your quarterback. That is that, because without that, you don't have anything. So,
I got a question for you. Did Brady beat Dan Marino's single season yard.
Yes.
Okay.
Did. Yes.
I knew the answer. The reason I ask is nobody's talking about it.
Yeah. Well, that's because there's
nobody.
Yeah.
I listened to Belichick's press conference.
Yep.
After post game press conference, not one writer asked him about Brady's accomplishment.
Well, probably smart.
There was a 30-second blurb about Gronkowski, but
yep.
And none of the national media, and you and I bitch about NFL and Network and ESPN all the time. Nobody's saying, hey, Brady did it too.
Nope, and nobody realizes that Brady finished 235 yards short of Drew Brees, because Drew played, you know, obviously a pretty good game on Sunday as well. And the other thing, it was just absolutely hysterical. And I'm talking about on Comcast here locally, on ESPN and NFL Network, not one highlight of Sterling Moore's two interceptions, not one for a pick six, one of the other, not one. And those were two great jumpy, jumped the routes both times, made two great picks. Not one highlight did I see of the Patriots defense, except the very end when that McCourty had that interception.
Gift pick.
That's it.
That was a gift.
I know. It was a gift. That's what they showed it only because it was at the end of the game. They never.
He was in the right place at the right time. It wasn't a read on his part.
No, it wasn't.
He was probably in the wrong place.
Sterling Moore made two great picks, one for a pick six, and nobody showed it, and nobody's even talking about it.
Did you see that on NFL Network, they showed the Saints highlights and Graham? Oh, yeah. Graham broke the NFL record for most yards for a tight end.
Yep.
Then they showed the Patriots 20 minutes later.
Yep.
And Rich Eisen, of course, who is on the Patriots haters bandwagon, says, and with that catch, Gronkowski pass, Graham. And that was it.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And it pisses me off because even the local writers did nothing to say, hey, Billy, you got anything to say about Brady breaking Dan Marino's record?
Yep.
Because it was awesome. I mean, I'm counting down yards, and nobody seems to care. And I think it's a bunch of BS.
Well, I said it would have been interesting had New Orleans if Brees had only played the first half, and if Brady was close in the second half, you know, what would have happened? Would they have acknowledged it then? And I brought this up to Kevin last week to see. You know, he's in charge of, like, stopping the game and showing Jumbotron stuff and all that. I'm wondering what would have happened. It would have been interesting had the situation, say the Gronkowski-Graham situation, paralleled the Brady-Brees situation. That, you know, that's what I'm wondering what would have happened. But it didn't.
Oh, absolutely. But, and as you said to your last caller, I don't believe for a second Belichick and the staff did not know how many yards Gronkowski needed
of course
to break
did.
That record. They would have known exactly what Brady would have needed
of course
to,
they did.
To surpass Brees. So I just disappointed and I've been disappointed all year on the lack of national attention. And maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we're flying under the radar.
I think it's a great thing. But it's
at number one seat.
It's not uncommon. You know, I mean, over the years, it's just not uncommon. I'm serious. If you know, you Google, you can YouTube, you go back and listen to back after they lost to Buffalo when they were headed into Oakland. Listen to everybody. They didn't think they were going to win that game. Then he listened after they lost the back-to-back games. There wasn't one national media person I know that picked them to beat the Jets on the road, and they clobbered them. And they didn't lose another game the rest of the year, which is what I said would happen after they lost to the Giants. It's been going on and on and on. You go back to the Denver game, you know, in Denver. How, you know, the Patriots, many people didn't think they had that was a little bit better, except the Tebow stuff overshadowed everything else, and nobody wanted to talk about that, what a fraud team they were. They didn't want to break it down like I did during my week. And nobody wanted to talk about it. It was all about he's 7-1. Well, he's 7-1 for reasons that are beyond his control for the most part. He had about 32-35% to do with that 7-1. The rest of it was Prater in the defense and horrible, horrible offenses that he faced. So, look, I'm glad. Let them all keep hating. I've seen it before. I've seen this tired act before from some of the national and local media. And once again, I'll be serving up crow with some nice marinara on it when it's all said and done. It'll be beautiful.
Good for you, man.
All right.
Thanks a bunch, man. Keep kicking ass.
All right. Happy New Year to you. Thanks. Take care. Let me take a quick break. I need some water. I'm dying here. 508-298-0398. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. Email webradio at patriots.com. I see there's like 10 of them. I got them all lined up. I promise I'm going to get right to the emails. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Back with the second hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here on a Wednesday on Patriots.com after this.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah,
good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Yeah, Sorry, Rex and the boys. 8-8 not surprised at all. And, yes, we relish in the demise of the New York.
Playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Have fun on the golf course, boys. You got exactly what you deserve. You blame your fat-ass coach and his fat mouth for it, too. Unbelievable. He's on a short leash next year. He's still praising Mark Sanchez. Unbelievable. I cannot. And what is going to be interesting, the whole Peyton Manning thing is going
to be. That's being a jackass.
It's going to be interesting. It really is going to see what happens here if the Colts. Now that polling is gone, I think, and my gut feeling is now, is Peyton Manning is not going to be a member of the Indianapolis Colts next year. He's out. They're not going to give him $28 million. They have to wait until March 8th, the trading deadline. They owe him a signing bonus of 12 plus his base salary, so he'd be getting $28 million next year. No way. Can't see it. Cannot see it. Looking at the 10-day forecast, by the way, in case you're wondering, and it's only up to the Friday the 13th. Of course, the Patriots play on January the 14th, Saturday, but this could be a decent indication. Friday the 13th, it says here anyway, not that, you know, anything can happen in New England, but it says partly sunny, 42 degrees during the day on Friday, and 25 degrees at night. So we can kind of make a bit of a guesstimation that probably the temperature for that game at night here in Foxborough, Mass, probably going to be somewhere between 20 and 25 degrees on Saturday the 14th. That's not too bad. We've all been here when it's been much colder than that. Certainly no one will ever forget. It was either, it was 03, the, or 04, the Tennessee game here. Oh, God, it was like negative 16 or negative 10 at kickoff with the wind. Oh, my God, that was unbelievably cold. Anyway, email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let me bang out some of these emails. Teddy in Jacksonville says, hey, Pete, totally agree. I was watching the first take earlier today also. It's all a bunch of crap. Well, I didn't say all of it. The parts about the Patriots were. We are the worst defenses, and they have no playmakers. Well, let's look deep into this. Cowboys, for instance, with Newman. He's a big-name player, but look at him against Victor Cruz the other night. He got torched. Also, what about Dawkins and company? Big names again, but look at them getting burnt left and right. And finally, the Saints. They got Porter and Greer. They haven't looked that well against Julio Jones. Just crap. And by the way, we are 31st now, and Green Bay is 32nd, which I mentioned earlier. But I don't hear the media mentioning that. Now to the Patriots. And you're right about that. That's what I said earlier. Nobody talks about the Packers being last. That's all right. It's the Packers. You know, we don't hate on the Packers. We just hate on the Patriots. Now the Patriots, Sterling Moore making plays, Ninkovich, Courtney moving to safety. He looked pretty decent, and at the defense overall are making key plays at the right time. So according to the media, we got some no-namers, but hey, it'll stick with them 100%. F the Jets and Rex, he's a crybaby. That was hilarious. Yes, it was. Let's see. Okay, we're going to have to reset this. I'm sorry, my friend. It's one of those things, one of those computer things. Let me see. Santiago says on Facebook, says, hey, Pete, here's an interesting stat about Sanchez. I was seeing ESPN's quarterback rating, which goes from 100 to 0. Since 2008, he's had the worst game for a quarterback against the Ravens this year. He had a horrible 0.6 ratings. Yeah, oh, no, I agree. We all remember that game. And it was brutal. That game was brutal, that one. And let me tell you something. Flacco wasn't much better. He was awful in that game, too. Awful. Max on Facebook says, if you were Patriots, would you rather have this number two seed and have a chance to play the Texans in the second round as opposed to Steelers? Well, Max, no. I'd rather have the number one seed because I think Cincinnati is going to beat Houston. Houston squeaked out a win against them a few weeks ago. Barely squeaked out a win against them, but I think Cincinnati will win. I think Cincinnati's a better team. A little bit better team. Close, but I think Cincinnati's a better team, so I'd rather have the number six seed come into Foxborough and play here. Jim says, Pete, can you help? Please help me. I'm looking forward to a weekend of NFL. I can't find the Jets listed anywhere. Joey says, good morning, Pete. What are they saying about Brady's shoulder? Nothing. He didn't practice today. And neither did Welker. And neither did Cannon. Neither did Mankins. Neither did Vollmer. Not surprising. Michael says, hey, Pete, every year there's always those unexpected upsets. I am that foolish. Am I that foolish to think that the Lions could upset the Saints or even thinking the Broncos have a shot versus Pittsburgh? David says, Pete Shepard read again. I don't know what about, but I appreciate it. Michael, yeah, like I said, I'll give all my predictions tomorrow, but I think as far as against the spread tomorrow, but overall, I think New Orleans wins a very close game against Detroit. I think that'll be close. Dominican Sue didn't play the last time, and I know the Saints beat him. At the end, looked a little ugly last time, but just got a feeling about this Detroit team. They're going to hang around a little more this time. And they hung around the first half of the last time they played in New Orleans. It'll be difficult. I think New Orleans will win, but I think I've seen bigger upsets than that, no question. The one about Pittsburgh and Denver, that is tough. I just don't know how I'm really trying to rack my brains to find out how the Denver Broncos can get to 14 points. I don't see it. I think the way they play, as bad as Tebow is and how bad he plays throwing the ball, how he can't pass, he's the worst quarterback I think I've ever seen come into the playoffs. It plays right into the Steelers' hands. As banged up as the Steelers are, I mean, I'm not saying the Steelers are going to put up 30. I think it'll be an ugly game. I think it'll be very similar to 13-9 in Cleveland last week, very similar to that. I'm just trying to rack my brains to see. I think this is one of those games where special teams and defense will have to bail the Broncos out as usual because Tebow was not going to do, in my opinion, won't do anything against this Pittsburgh team. This team plays right into the Steelers' hands. You want to beat the Steelers, you're going to throw on them. That's how you beat them. You have to throw on them. Alonzo says on email at webradio@patriots.com, I am totally with you on the ridiculous one-sided view of all these so-called analysts. I'm also tired of hearing that they don't beat good teams. After all, I'm sure that winning 8 games in a row is an easy thing to do and that every team should have no problem doing it. Now, after the Steelers beat the lousy Browns, I immediately thought of you when I heard no one say how the Steelers barely beat the Browns. Well, they hop on the Patriots for falling behind and then crushing the Bills. I want the Steelers and a chance for retribution. Yeah, Kevin, I brought that up too. I mean, it's hysterical. You watch the Steelers. I mean, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, are you happy with that way offensively they played against the Browns? I mean, come on. It's just, you know, it's just, it's, but they get all these teams get free passes. It's unbelievable. Eric says in Brooklyn, but you don't hear anybody talk about that. Of the teams that Green Bay played, only four wound up with winning records, and several of their wins over New Orleans, Detroit, and the Giants were very close. You don't hear anybody criticizing the Packers based on their easy schedule. I don't know if they had an easy schedule. I wouldn't consider their schedule easy. I think when you talk about rating schedules, I think it's, I don't know, that kind of stuff is overrated a lot of ways. You have to look at when you play. I mean, it's like the Bills. You look at them, you can't judge the Patriots being, you know, losing to the Bills, or even if they'd beaten the Bills the first game. The Bills were playing well the first quarter of the season. And remember, I kept saying over and over again, I said, I don't believe it, even though they beat the Patriots that day with four turnovers turned to 24 points. You know, I said, you know, the rematch will be much different, you know, the end of the season. What was, coincidentally, was incredible, again, the irony, reminded me of the 31-0, you know, back in 03 or 04. You know, 31-0, they lose in Buffalo, and they come back and beat them 31-0 on the season finale. This time, they lose. They were up 21-0 in Buffalo, you know, back in week three, lose the game. This time, they're down 21-0 to Buffalo at home, come back and outscore them by 49. All evens out. Let's see. Let's get to back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Jamal is in New York. You're up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Jamal. Hey, Happy New Year. How you doing?
I'm good. I wanted to talk about who do you think will be like the MVP of the league this year?
I think you could certainly make cases for all three, but I think you have to vote for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's got to be Aaron Rodgers.
I'm hoping it's Aaron Rodgers cuz I don't know if people pay attention to this, but the last MVP to win the Super Bowl was Kurt Warner, and that was like in 1999.
Yep.
Every year, that's the person that's MVP, their team never wins. They never go all the way.
Well, I mean, that's, you know,
I mean, I don't know if people pay attention to that, but every year, like, I'm like you know, Patriots fan, all that.
Yep.
And I knew something was going to happen last year in the playoffs. Jets fans, then, like, they were all, Jets fans I talked to, they were like, well, they don't think, you know, since they got blown up before, they didn't think they were going to be to stop the Patriots. But I'm like, when you get named MVP, something that just always happens.
Well, I mean, again, I think a lot of that stuff's more coincidental than anything else. It's not like Warner did. I mean, Warner the next year played pretty well. I mean, 2 years later, they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I mean, I hear where you're coming from, but I don't put a lot of stock in that. I think you could certainly make a case. I mean, Breeze would probably be second and Brady third this year, but you could certainly. What I don't like is that people are dismissing Brady completely. I mean, you got to give him.
Yeah,
to me, it's Breeze and Brady 1-1A. Yeah. They're so close, and, you know, Breeze plays a lot of games inside in domes, and I think that should count for something a little bit maybe. But you can't deny that Drew Breeze has been he's had a great year. Brady's had a great year. If Brady had been playing any other year with these two guys, he'd be hands down, he'd be unanimous again MVP. But you got to give it to Aaron Rodgers, no question about it. You got to give it to Aaron Rodgers. He has had the best year. He deserves it.
Yeah, I also want to say how everybody is talking about Peyton Manning going to the Jets.
Yep.
How will the Jets be able to pay for Peyton Manning? Where will they get this
money? Well, here's the thing, and I know, and this is the problem. I know, and I heard there was a clip on ESPN or someplace the other day, and this is where, you know, Mike Francesa, who claims to be the be-all, end-all of sports knowledge, and they played a clip from a show on FAN, and he's yelling at a caller, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do it? How you do it is you backload contracts and you find creative ways of doing it. If they really want to get it done, they can get it done. You cut players and you find ways of doing it. There's other teams, including the Patriots, that do that kind of stuff all the time. You find ways of getting it done. It's not impossible. I still think it's highly unlikely, but it's not impossible.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll actually go to the team because I was like reading earlier. We're listening about the backup quarterback, Greg McElroy, for the Jets.
Yep.
I was talking about how selfish the team was. Even when the team wins or loses, players come out in the locker room. They really don't care if they won or lost. They just care about how much stats they had this game, like Keller and Plaxico and Santonio. Hey, they like, just don't really care.
Hey, Rex admitted it. I mean, one thing he admitted before he cried for a couple of days is like, you know, I lost the pulse of my team. Well, I mean, you created the pulse of your team by opening up your fat mouth and not let your guys kind of do whatever they wanted to and have ha-ha and fun. And besides the Big Mac comment he made a couple of years ago when they had all the cheese. I mean, what is that? You think about that. Think about training camp and the Jets showing up with 200 cheeseburgers. I mean, can you ever imagine that in any other camp? I'm not just saying the Patriots. I mean, any place. I mean, it's just child. That kind of stuff is, like, it's unheard of. You don't even. All he did was yell and scream about it for a couple in a preseason meeting, and that was it. I mean, these guys.
Yeah, his problem is just guarantees. He guarantees everything. He, like, you know, nobody else in the league. He needed help from people in the league to beat the Patriots.
No coach has ever done it. No coach has ever done it and won. I don't remember even coach even. I don't remember. I don't ever remember a coach in the NFL guaranteeing at the combine that their team's going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he'll guarantee it next year again.
I'm sure he will. Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Sanchez, you know, he's becoming an elite quarterback. You know, he's going to get us this, and he's going to do this.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. Mark Sanchez will never be an elite quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback. He's taken three steps back this year, and I don't think he's going to be on the team next year. So we'll see.
Yeah. Happy New Year, Pete.
Happy New Year, Jamal. Appreciate it. Let's see. Let's head back to webradio at patriots.com. Got so many emails to get to. Hi, Pete and Kevin. Broncos, this is from Gene. Broncos can only win if there are 40-mile-per-hour crosswinds with snow and no one can pass and the game is left in McGahee's hands. Well, possibly. Possibly. Nolan Denver says, maybe Brady Quinn comes in during the fourth quarter and scores a sloppy touchdown. He gives him a better chance than Tebow. Well, I can tell you this. If Tim Tebow, I promise you in a playoff game, if Tim Tebow has the kind of half that he had against Kansas City, he's coming out. He's coming out. If they're down like 10-0, 13-0, something like that at the half, and his offensive numbers are throwing numbers are as pathetic as they have been, he's coming out. And I love the fact that Skip Bayless says, Trent Dilfer said that Tebow played his best game of the year against the Patriots. No, he didn't. I mean, yeah, Dilfer said that, and he's just wrong. I mean, you know, Trent Dilfer's wrong like five times a week. He's right like twice a week. And wrong about five times a week. Listen to the stuff he says. Did not have his best game against the Patriots. His best game probably was against Minnesota. That was his best game by far. by far. And he still needed pick sixes and Prater to bail him out of that one against a very bad Minnesota team. After the first quarter, they didn't do crap. Blown out. Totally different yardage from the first quarter and everything else. First quarter was horrible. We all know that. Second, third, and fourth quarter, they got nothing. They got nothing. That was worth anything. It just people just don't want to delve deeper into these games. And guys like Skip Bayless, when he's not, like I said, the guy's on the Patriot bandwagon. He put the Patriot helmet up. He's all over Tom Brady. He would take Tom Brady over everybody. It scares me that Bayless is so in love with the Patriots going all the way. But at least he brings up some of the defensive numbers I brought up and tries to give it to, tries to counter what some of his chums are saying, guys like Parker and Cordell Stewart. Again, I can't tell you how embarrassing it was. And to have, when you have Cordell Stewart talk about the Patriots, you're wasting your time. He is it's impossible for him to be fair and objective when he's talking about the Patriots. When he's talking about the rest of the league, I like a lot of his, I think he's pretty good. But he is just, it's just, you can tell the hatred, it's there. Chris says in Tennessee, Pete, speaking of offensive deficiencies, did you see Skip Bayless question Terrell Suggs on Joe Flacco's viability as a championship quarterback? Suggs had a reserve confidence in this quarterback, but I enjoyed the direct line of questioning by Bayless. By the way, Dave Damschek brought up Spygate in one of his shame reports. I'm getting tired of that fiasco being mentioned. I live here in Tennessee, and people often accuse me of cheering for a team of cheaters. How do you deal with people who constantly bring up Spygate? You laugh at them. It's obviously people who don't understand the NFL. Go back and you can show them quotes from ex-coaches. Show them the 2007 season when all the bleep hit the fan and they won 18 games in a row. 18 games in a row, including the week when it came out and so many teams would have lost and got distracted. But what did they do? They came out and they blew out the San Diego Chargers here. What you do is you don't acknowledge people like that, people who are that ignorant who still bring that up, really don't understand the NFL, don't understand that taping and film, all that stuff been going on for years and years and years. Coaches talking about how they used to send interns up to press boxes to get pictures after the game to see different things. That's what you just constantly change. It's such a waste of time to even bring it up. So if you're in Tennessee and people still talking about that, it's just hated, just jealous. That's all it is. It's just jealousy. It's very difficult for people to fathom how successful this team has been over the last 11, 12 years. That's what it comes down to. And a lot of it is because Bill does not give the media sexy answers. You know the locals around here who feel that way. Not all of them, some of them. I say the ones all the time. You know who they are. They're so transparent. That's why I don't read their stuff. But when they go on television and aren't challenged by the host, it's aggravating to listen to. I don't think it's good TV. I don't think it's good television on Comcast to let Shaughnessy and Borges rant without being challenged in any way, shape, or form. Shaughnessy told you nothing else. Shaughnessy says, I'm usually a glass half full type of guy, which that was laughable. And then talking about, it's just a mirage. I just don't see it. They haven't, it's just a mirage. It's just a mirage. I mean, please. That's your analysis? It's a mirage? All the numbers I brought up every single week. Too lazy to look them up. Too lazy to see them. Too lazy to see all the other teams. Too doesn't understand about turnovers and point differential. About making plays, about having arguably one of the best second-half defenses as far as points allowed go in the entire NFL. One of the best second-half points allowed defenses the last eight games this year. They allowed 7 on average. I'm sorry. That has to count for something. William says on webradio at patriots.com. Says, Pete, Happy New Year. Hey, I like some of the NFL Network guys. Heath B., Willie McGinnis, former Pats, excuse the spelling. Is Skip Bayless as close to Howard Stern as you can get? Pats fan lost in A.J. Smith. North Turner Country. Love the show. All Pats radio shows. Thanks. Isn't that amazing? That Smith, who I believe is a Bishop Hendricken grad, by the way, my alma mater. But I don't know how North Turner keeps his job. I really don't. And that's why they're never going to win. It's embarrassing. It really is unbelievable that he keeps his job. Eric in Brooklyn says, the Lions' victories all came at the hands of teams that finished with losing records. But you don't hear any pundits talking about that either, do you? No. Good point, Eric. You're right. You won't. Because it doesn't pertain to the Patriots and the haters out there. And it'll always be about Belichick not giving cutesy little answers to the media. That is 90% of it. and the fact that ex-Steelers, all of them, cannot sit there and be fair and objective when talking about the team. And what I thought was even funny, and I'll get to the Totter? I'll get to you in 1 second in Connecticut. Hysterical when Cordell Stewart did bring up some good points about Tebow and race and all that this morning on First Take. I thought it was interesting. But my God, Cordell, point some of that hard-hitting analysis at yourself. Now, I don't think he was better than you, not by a long shot. But my God, man, you couldn't throw the ball 20 yards down the field without getting picked or floated. That was your problem, is you couldn't throw down the field in the NFL. You had the same problem to a little bit of a lesser degree, but that was your problem. So that's why you didn't last longer. You know, maybe you, I mean, had you played at this day and age, maybe you would have. But back then, not the case. And he still can't get over the fact that he got torched by the Patriots more than once. But he's ripping, they're sitting there ripping Tebow, and rightly so. But Cordell, you had the same kind of problem. You couldn't throw the ball down the field when you needed to. Your team was third and long. You were screwed. If you weren't running, you weren't getting the first down for the most part. All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Here's Tater in Connecticut. Hello, my friend.
Hello. Oh,
yeah,
you seem to be very fact-based. I looked into the Patriots draft picks, and they've been extremely successful on offense and not so successful on defense. Why is that the case? Is the process different, or the scouts are worse? Why is that?
I think you have to look at where they drafted players available. I mean, they have drafted some good.
I compare them to the Steelers draft picks.
Well, I mean,
but they're similar situation. I mean, they're both good teams.
Look, I think the draft for any team, for any organization, for the most part, it's a crapshoot a lot of the times. Now, the Patriots have drafted recently some good players on defense. Now, McCourty's having a crappy year this year so far, or very, you know, he's not having a good year. He's made some plays here and there, but he was at the Pro Bowl last year. They drafted Spikes, they drafted Chung, they drafted Mayo over the last few years. You know, they picked up guys like Ninkovich. They picked up Carter up free agency. Unfortunately, he's hurt. Because that's what they value. I said their priority is to protect their quarterback. That's why they have so much depth at offensive line. That's why they can lose their first and second and even third string centers this year at times and still be competitive. I think they believe, at least this day and age now, and really the last couple, you need to protect your quarterback. Offensive line is key. Brady's the key to this whole thing. And if their defense can just do the bend but not break type of thing, or bend a little but not totally self-destruct like they have been this year and be middle of the pack in scoring defense, that's all they need. They don't have to be ranked net yardage wise number one to win a Super Bowl. Nobody does. But let me put it to you this way. Who do you think is gonna have a more difficult time of winning a Super Bowl? San Francisco or the Patriots this year?
San Francisco has no shot.
All right, well, I wouldn't say they wouldn't have a shot, but I think they'll have a very difficult road. A very difficult road.
The Vegas odds. The people with money would not put a dime on them.
Oh, I don't know about that. You'd be surprised what people put money on. What I'm saying is, there's
just a 50% chance to win the AFC.
Yeah, and they're
25% chance to win the Super Bowl.
I read 18% chance today, but which I thought was low, but that's okay. That's fine. The Patriots should be. I would put them at the 40-50% mark to win the Super Bowl, but the Packers are like about 3-1 to win it, and the Saints are. But that stuff, you know, that's fine. That's all. That doesn't mean a lot to me. I mean, you know, the team that's the.
Yeah, but the, you know, people when they put money, they have okay predictive power.
They what?
They have okay predictive power in markets. The predictive power is okay.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is based on emotion and not betting with their heart and not their head. A lot of it is like that too. But I hear what you're saying. I'm saying. So you can look at it both ways. You can talk about the Patriots defense in a lot of ways. And how poorly it's played at times this year and all that stuff. Although, like I said, if you look at everybody else's and you look at the overall picture, it's not. I would rather have this Patriot offense with this defense than San Francisco's defense and that offense trying to win a Super Bowl. Sorry. Good luck in San Francisco trying to go up against New Orleans and Green Bay. Good luck. Because they haven't all year long. The one good offense they faced, they lost. The one real good offense they faced, they lost. And they really should have lost, too. They lost to Dallas early on with Romo when he was playing decent because it was back early in the season. And the Eagles put up 416 yards on them passing and were ahead by three touchdowns until they gave it away. So it's I'll take my chances with this team.
Oh, I do agree with you. It just seems to me that they draft real stars on offense, and the defense is so-so.
Well, I agree. I'll agree with you. It's so-so, but I'm saying it's not like they have. Like I said, I just brought up Spikes over the year. Mayo, McCourty, Chung. You know, they've had some misses as well, and they've pieced together. You know, Ninkovich coming here was a great pickup a few years ago. You know, it's not like they're horrible. I mean, they were starting with Carter in there. They were starting to get, you know, a pass rush, starting to get, you know, a decent pass rush. Well, Wilfork is still one of the great defensive linemen out there. So, I'm just saying.
Oh, I think he's the best nose tackler.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the best in the NFL. So, all I'm saying is overall, I know people get caught up in really fancy, cute little names. They get caught up in names like Clay Matthews, and they get caught up in other names around that. You know, you get caught up in names and teams that, with the Packers, their defense statistically was worse this year. So, what does it all mean? It means it's an offensive league right now, and if you don't have a stud quarterback, you are not going to win. And that's why I don't like Baltimore coming here to win, and I don't like the Steelers right now because I think they're banged up. And I think if anybody believes that what happened on October 30th when they lost 25-17, if they think that that game is going to have any bearing whatsoever, or there's some kind of freaking dumb blueprint out there that think that the Steelers are going to follow that again to a T and that's going to work again at the same time, sadly mistaken. They'll be in for a shock. All right, my friend, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Gene says, as much as Tyrone in Delaware hems and haws and worries about the Pats, I think no one cares about them more. Oh, I agree. Well, he's had them out of the playoffs, right, since week 9, right? He said they're going to lose every week. Every week he was scared they were going to lose. Gene says, I read on the New York Jets website, Bart Scott said to report he didn't care what happened this year. It's history because he will be back next year at $4 million. The reporter said Bart should look at his guaranteed contract because he did, and there was wording allowing the Jets to get out of it. The guaranteed contract to Antonio Holmes is guaranteed, and the reporter said he is waiting for the next soap opera to unfold. They think Scott will not be back with the Jets when he finds out. How dumb are these guys? They are dumb. And it starts at the top. You know, even starts with Tannenbaum, goes down to Rex Ryan, everybody. And how is Brian Schottenheimer getting? Did I hear he's possibly being wooed by a couple teams, possibly their offensive or be their head coach? Based on what?
Yeah, I got to agree with you, but I have heard that as well, especially like a team like Jacksonville who's just desperate for anybody.
Jacksonville, why?
Because they're just desperate. Nobody wants to go there.
That's right. I hope Jeff Fisher doesn't go there. And I hope Jeff Fisher stays out of the AFC. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jeff Fisher. If Bill weren't coaching this team, Jeff Fisher's the guy I'd want coaching this team. I think he's a tremendous, tremendous coach. And I think Vince Young really screwed him down there in Tennessee because he was ready to have nervous breakdowns. Let's see. But that is interesting. The Jets are just a big-time soap opera. They have fallen apart. Again, webradiopatriot.com. Pete, do you think the Bill played McCourty at safety to give him a better understanding of how the position works in the Patriots defense so that he can be a better corner in the playoffs? I think it's possible, but, I mean, it's two different positions, you know, and you're not asked to do as much. I mean, you are, but I'm saying it's not, you're not on that one-on-one coverage all the time for the most part at that position. I don't know if it's going to be permanent. And if you ask Bill, I'm sure it's been asked. I haven't heard his press conference yet. We have his press conference from today? Did he speak today? I can't remember if he spoke today or not.
I think he spoke yesterday.
He did the conference call. Yeah, he did the conference call yesterday. But I'm sure it's brought up. He's not going to reveal any of that information, you know. Why would he tell you, yeah, McCourty's going to stay at safety? Because then you just give other teams, you know, an edge to prepare for. So my guess is he's going to play a little of both. That's my guess, depending on how the game is going, who they're playing, their opponent, all that stuff, depending on who it is. Again, they either get Denver, Pittsburgh, or Cincinnati a week from Saturday here. Let's see. Elsewhere on web radio. Now that Bill Polian is gone from Indy, all my worries for the Pats are over. I was concerned playing a Super Bowl in Indy that will be Bill Polian, my pipe and noise. When the Patriots were on offense, he is so used to doing it at the time. The Pats, I do not think he could stop. Now Polian is gone, I can sleep at night. And that's one thing I can tell you that absolutely used to happen. I've heard it from enough people. No one can confirm it 100%, but most people realize if you've covered there at the stadium, and I haven't been to that stadium, but if you've been in there, my media friends who've been in there say there's no question there were at times over the last 7 or 8 years that when they played there, there's no question it was definitely crowd noise pumped in. John says, do you think McCourty would lose his place in Patriots after his performance this year? I don't know. I think that would be a little drastic. I don't think you give up on a second-year guy like that. And I think people also forget, you know, they forget Asante Samuel when he was here. And I can remember doing shows after games his first couple of years. People were torching him on the radio like they were McCourty this year. Absolutely torching him. Now, he really came into his own from his third year on. So I think, I mean, it's a very difficult position to make. I just think with McCourty, I think it's real simple. It's fundamentally, it's real, turn 90 degrees and look for the ball. I really think it's that simple because it's not like, yeah, he's got burned this year a couple of times, but it's not like most of the time the guys are 30 yards down the field ahead of him or anything like that. It is more technique and just fundamentals. Just turn around, look for the ball. Let's see, web radio. Email me, webradio@patriot.com. So call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Let's see if there's anything on Facebook here that I haven't gotten to yet. Let's see. No, I've pretty much gotten through all of it. Yep. So again, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, come up and wrap up the show for today here at Gillette. And let me know your thoughts on who your MVP candidate should be. And it's very simple. Rodgers, Breeze, Brady. What do you think? Let me know. Back with my final thoughts after this.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So I think, you guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of a Ryzen 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic.
That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a Turbo Shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Hey there, and thanks everybody for checking in again. I want to wish everybody a happy, healthy, and a safe new year. I didn't get to do that on last Thursday because I wasn't here, and then the Patriots Monday was preempted my show on Tuesday because of the holiday. So, but that's okay. We're here tomorrow as well between 4 and 6. But fantasy football is over. I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to Brian. Maybe he'll be around tomorrow. And but there's still fantasy football out there, but we're not doing it tomorrow, right? We're not doing that. So, I mean, you can. I mean, if you want to, you can ask me a question if you want about it, and I'll give you my best answers I can. I know there's some like CBS Sports Line and ESPN that do those fantasy football thing. Okay, let me ask you a question. Since you're in tight with all the demo, you know, the what's shown on the big screen, all that stuff, and acknowledgments and all that stuff. Had Drew Brees not played, say, the second half of that game, and Brady broke his record, did you guys have any plans, any contingency plans of what might happen or anything like that?
We didn't have anything pre-planned, but I'm sure something would have been up there.
Really?
Yeah. We did do Jets updates pretty frequently when they were losing, and
beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, we saw a lot of emails today in the web radio inbox of people who were at the game kind of noting that the Jets red zone updates that we showed were getting more of a reaction than the actual game was getting out of
it. Well, it was out of control by that time.
So you know, people took great pleasure in that. And but I can tell you one thing, Pete. That last pass from Hoyer to Gronkowski that broke the record for the tight end record. Yep. Obviously the Patriot coaches and the Patriots PR staff,
they're going to deny it, but they knew
they were aware.
They were aware.
Us doing the jumbo show, were as curious as everybody else when we saw Hoyer, you know, up 28 points or whatever, throwing a pass. Now, once we looked to who the recipient of the pass was, we had an idea that may have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that we, you know, didn't show any Graham statistics or whatever up on the board.
Oh, that's cool. Well, yeah, that's cool. I think it would have been interesting if Breece had not played in the second half.
I think
half,
it would have been, too. But, and I mean, we may very well have been.
Because he missed it by 235 yards, breaking Breece's record now. He shattered Marino's record.
And, we saw it was pretty evident from given the score updates from that New Orleans-Carolina game. They were putting up points in at a rapid rate.
But Brady got – the caller was right. Brady got hardly any – attention at all about breaking the record.
He didn't. It was all Breece.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad.
But we could
what does
tell,
that say?
We could tell in the stadium, Pete, when we kept seeing the score go up,
mm-hmm.
that Breece was probably doing pretty well in that game once they got into the 40s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question. William says, Aaron gets A, Breece gets A1. Could Patriots get got number two, got to the number one seed with Brian Hoyer? Not. Love the show, Pete. Pats fan in Charger country. Eek. But, okay. So I guess he thinks Brady should be the MVP. Devin McCourty's twin brother plays for the Titans, and I thought one day I would check his stats and watch him on NFL Rewind. Devin's brother leads the Titans in tackles and plays a lot quicker than Devin. Last year, Devin was quicker and turned better. I think Devin has the injury we do not know about, and he is being the soldier and not saying they need to protect his team, possibly. But also, I know his brother leads tackles for the Titans, but you don't really want a cornerback leading tackles on your defense either. You know, the Patriots had Mayo the last couple of years or two of the last 3 years. And again, this year, that's what you want. You want your linebackers and maybe even defensive linemen. Whenever you see your secondaries, particularly cornerbacks, leading your team in tackles, that's not good. You don't want that. It's not good if the cornerback is leading your team in tackles on just for a game. Forget about the entire team for the year. That's not good. Douglas from Texas says, hey, Pete. Funny you mentioned Samuel. You think Bill is grooming Devin to be the next Asante? Devin's playing safety now, which by default gives you a whole view of the opposing offense. Asante's strength is and always was being a ball hawk. If Devin, with his speed, can fill in that role that is missing with Asante not being there, the backfield would be totally different. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that. I'm not sure he's ready to do it full-time, play safety. I mean, I don't know. My guess is he's going to play both, a little of both. And we'll see how it goes. We'll see what kind of personnel is healthy for the game, all that stuff. Hopefully Chung is going to be able to play again. And what an impact he made. How about the hit he had on Stevie Johnson, which I thought was going to be a penalty. I don't know when you saw that hit, Kevin. I thought that was going to be when he smacked him. It was 3rd and 6 in the first quarter. Welcome. I was like, welcome back, Patrick Chung. And I said, here comes the flag. And I didn't throw it. And I thought it was – when I slowed it down after I rewatched it, it was a good no call. But, man, was it close.
And he looked like he played every snap of the game.
Yeah,
which people, I don't think realize.
Yep.
So it just shows you that, he wasn't nursed back into this game. If they're playing him every snap in a game that's well decided, that's, getting him reps and getting him playoff ready.
Yes.
It looks like, hopefully, knock on wood, he's back to the old Patrick Chung.
Yeah, and Spikes made a difference, too.
It was good to see them, too, after playing in a game that they were both present at practice today, which was another positive sign.
Exactly. All right, let's see. I think we're going to wrap it up today. Let me see. We're going to wrap it up. That's about it. We'll be back tomorrow. And I want you to really think about tomorrow, and I know all the shows are doing this, but I'm going to do it as well. Who would you rather see the Patriots play? I mean, I'm always one of those, be careful what you wish more because you might get it. I mean, I think it's going to be Cincinnati. Excuse me. I think Cincinnati's going to squeak out a win against a very tough Houston team. But your homework assignment for tonight is – someone come up if you can, and I'm really going to try, like I told you, but I just don't see it because of the way these two teams, this matchup is in this particular week. If you can, tell me how Denver can score more than double digits on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll take 11, 12, 13 points. That's your homework assignment tonight, and we will resume tomorrow here on Patriots.com and the Pete Shepherd Show between 4 and 6 p.m. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. Do you mind one little public service announcement? Of course, if you know, I play poker a lot. So, again, charity event tonight. Wednesday weekly deep stack, $25 satellites at 6 o'clock. It's like a few minutes, and the $90 main event at 7:15. Basically, what it comes down to is you get 20,000 in chips for 100 bucks. And 20-minute blinds, the first few levels, and it goes down to 15-minute blinds. The 20 players, first 20 players get to play a free satellite. That's at the American Legion Post 18, 155 Eastern Avenue in Dedham, right behind the Tahiti Restaurant, across from the VFW. Hope to see you all there. Definitely see you back here tomorrow at 4 o'clock right here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday night, everybody. Bye-bye. A little brighter with the name like day in California. Day was going to go when I was going to mourn you. A little loaded, she was stealing another breath. I love my baby.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.